This one's for you, Alan. Hello? Hello? Is it on? There it is. I just wanted to say it again. Is it on? Is it on? How about now? The sun comes up, the sun goes down. Another day at SI. Oh, I'm so hot and running around. Pop goes the weasel. I didn't have a rhyme. I promise you a better song tomorrow, but that one's for you. Alan thought of the tune because I was not coming up with anything, so there we go. I have a phone. It has a sad, cracked screen on it, but a lovely, bedazzled back. It also has a picture of a beautiful little blonde child as the home screen, so, or the lock screen.
Monte Carlo was looking for that.
Okay. We'll find them. Thank you. Post-DOMA discussion group with Sam Hensgrico. We're going to do that tomorrow afternoon. Tomorrow is Wednesday, right? Okay. Tomorrow afternoon in the early afternoon session, so that's the 1:30 p.m. starting time. We're going to do that in the Brandy Recital Hall, which I think is a good plan unless anyone knows of a conflict. And if you do, see me afterwards and we'll change it. But I think that's where we're going to plan on that. So the early afternoon tomorrow, 1:30 p.m. in Brandy Recital Hall. That's the hall behind us where we will also have the small ensemble shows on Thursday and Friday evening. If your work shift is for dance setup, please meet in Upper Gund. That is where we registered in Gund Commons. Upper Gund is the ballroom there. Please meet in Gund, Upper Gund, Wednesday at 5:45 p.m. That means you should probably aim for having supper right about 5 and then head over there to help with a little bit of setup for the dance later that evening. Have you seen The Labyrinth? Anyone? Yes. So some of you have, and perhaps some of you have not. If you wonder where it is or can't find it, The Labyrinth is behind the chapel, which is the beautiful chapel-looking building, or in front of Ransom Hall, which conveniently is the hall behind the chapel building. So sort of in there. If you are having trouble finding it, look for red thread. It's a little bit sparkly and kind of a yarn piece, and Esther has a piece of it with her, so if you want to see her, she can show you exactly what to look for. There are also some white bows around the edges of the labyrinth, and that is ours. Esther brings it every year. Thank you very much, and you're welcome to check it out and walk the labyrinth. Yes, that's true. We have lots of help to put it up and to put it down, but you bring it, and we love it. Something that has been lost, if you could help us keep an eye out for it. I don't believe it has been found at this point. This is a sea green colored canvas bag with a jungle theme. Found it? Found it! Woohoo! Never mind. See, announcements work. It was already found, but that's good. Okay, this one is important, and I'm going to ask everybody who hears it to help us communicate this to anyone you see doing it wrong. In the dining hall, in the cafeteria area, the dining halls, anywhere where we are getting food, eating food, etc., there may not be bare feet. You can't go into the cafeteria line to get food with bare feet. You shouldn't be in the dining halls eating with bare feet. And there have been quite a few bare feet in there. That is a health department regulation, and it's one of those things that's just sticky, and we need to observe it. So it's especially sticky if you step on food to bare feet. So help us make sure that the rest of our community knows that and observes it. And it might mean reminding younger people sometimes. So help us. Or older people, whoever has bare feet. A reminder about pedestrians. There are pedestrians. Many of us are them. But for folks riding bicycles, and this is, again, something that will be helpful to remind some of our younger members who might be having a lot of fun on their bicycles, we need to watch out for pedestrians, and bicycles don't necessarily have the right of way. So shouting, excuse me, as you breeze past someone is maybe not the best approach. So help us communicate that to folks, and keep in mind that we need to coexist. Also keep in mind that we are not the only ones on campus. And so there are people who live in this town, and there are other groups on campus who could be especially surprised by us yelling to ask them to get out of the way. Possibly. Okay, a reminder about the pool, and we are reminding Kenyan staff about this so that they can check in with the staff at the Kenyan Athletic Center. Children and youth under 16 years of age cannot use the swimming pool without an adult. They can't go down there by themselves. We had some young preteens who were there by themselves today, and we had a couple of little challenges with that. There are different colored wristbands for folks who are 16 and over, and that's what the Kenyan Athletic Center is attempting to help us by watching. So we are reiterating to them that we need them to support that since it is their rule, but we need to honor it as well. So if you can help us make sure that anyone under 16 knows that they do need to have an adult with them to go to the pool, that would be great. Ultimate in the Dark was originally scheduled for tonight. It is not happening tonight. It is happening tomorrow night. It happens in the late evening time slot, which starts at 9:30 p.m. And it is the only ultimate game that we will play on the football field proper, which is the turf field. So that will happen after dark tomorrow night in the late evening time, the 9:30 time slot. I have one more announcement to share after Sharon Sikora is going to come on up. Sharon Sikora is the coordinator of our scholarship fund, and she would like to share a couple of things with you and give you some ideas, because we want scholarships.
Hi. I'm stepping into, as you know, some very big shoes as the new scholarship committee chair, and what with the loss of John Marshall. And I thought that this would be the last thing that I would ever do at SI. To ask people for money is just not in my nature. But given my experience over the last 3 years working with John, I'm very comfortable now asking all of you to donate, and donate heartily, to the scholarship fund. I actually would prefer, I was thinking about this today as I was doing laundry with Renee, that I would prefer to be the SI laundress and have you donate money to me so that I could do your laundry while at SI. But since that's probably not going to happen, I do like to do laundry, I would just ask you to donate. Now, some of you may have seen the paper cups at the back of the hall here, and also at the information center in Pierce. And there's been one short piece in Kaleidoscope that talked about how you should perhaps think about getting a paper cup, and over the course of the week dump your loose change into it, and then on Friday we'll collect it and add it all up and see what we've got. Now that, of course, is not the only way to donate to the scholarship fund, but little bits make a lot, and I'll tell you another little story to illustrate that. Just 2 weeks ago, I was in Cleveland with my mother, who recently had her knee replaced, and I was having dinner with a friend, and I got a text from my husband Tom, and he said, "I'm rolling up all the spare change in the house." And then a few minutes later, he called and he said, "Do you know how much I have so far?" At that point, he'd rolled over 2,000 pennies. We have a change chicken at our house, just a little, kind of like a big paper cup. Some of you may have the same kind of thing at your house. And we had filled up that change chicken, and we had filled up sour cream containers, and we had filled up cottage cheese containers, and they had pretty much pushed dishes off of one shelf, you know, where we keep our dishes. And for some reason, he got ambitious. This is a job that usually fell to our children when they were small. We always said to them, "You roll up the change, you can have the money." They're gone now. So that job has now fallen to Tom, and he managed to roll up just a mere $205. So, if we roll up all of your change, who knows how much we might have at the end of this week. But again, that's the first thing you can do. And that, you know, one of the nice things about that is that people that don't have a lot may have a handful of spare change, right? And some of us have more and can do more. And so, of course, what you can do then is you can write out a check to the OMD SI scholarship fund, give it to me, and I'll make sure it gets to where it needs to go. You can also donate directly on the OMD SI website just by clicking a donate button and paying through or donating through PayPal. So that's a third option for you. This year, I want to give a little report on what we've been able to do with the scholarship money. And, of course, John did so much of the work in preparation for this. And then Ken Keem and I managed to finish up the process. We have managed to give out this year $8,125 to 36 people, 36 people who might otherwise not be here with us at SI this year. 1,400 of that dollar of those dollars came to us through a special donation from Amber Henson's family, and that money was to be used directly for first-time youth attending SI, and we have seven youth that have benefited from that this year. Lastly, what I'd like to ask, and this would be something that you can think about, those of you that have been scholarship recipients in the past or perhaps scholarship recipients this year, and there'll be notice of this in the Kaleidoscope tomorrow as well, is that if you have a story, John started, I think he started this tradition, maybe it was started before him by Phil, but anyway, John would ask for people who received scholarship money if they were willing to write a short little anonymous note and share it with him, and then he would share a few of those stories with the SI community. I would like to do that later on this week. So if you've received scholarship money in the past or this year and you're willing to share your story, please write that up and give me that story or give it to one of the members of the SIPC and they'll be sure to get it to me. And then later on this week, I'll be able to share some of those stories with you and hopefully tug even further on your heartstrings. So thank you so much for this opportunity to talk about the scholarship fund. I know it's so important to so many people, and I look forward to meeting, you know, the scholarship folks this year. If you feel comfortable introducing yourself to me, please, I'd love to meet you, and thank you again for your time. This, by the way, is a wonderful cup of not just change, but also hard, cold cash that apparently Phil locked the doors at the contra dance and wouldn't let anybody out until they donated to the scholarship fund. So here we go. Thank you.
Last but not least, I want to talk about television, which we don't talk about very much at Summer Institute. However, many of us will know, and many may not, that a member of the SI community, Sully Dunn, is competing on America's Got Talent. And Sully was on the initial audition episodes, and he was sent on to compete in Las Vegas. And Sully is going to be broadcast, his Las Vegas competition piece is going to be broadcast either, because it's two nights in a row of broadcast, tonight or tomorrow night. That show runs at 9 p.m. What I could look up said that perhaps tonight it's a two-hour show from 9 to 11, and tomorrow it's perhaps just 1 hour from 9 to 10. We don't know which night he's going to be on, but it's pretty exciting. And how many know Sully Dunn? A lot of people know Sully. Sully's been here for a long time. So almost every hand that went up will at least understand this. What we would like to do, we're going to try to get the show on the television in the pub when we are open both nights. And we want to see if we can catch him. And we want everyone who can to come and to wear your bike helmet. And if you don't have a bike helmet and or you don't know what I'm talking about, but have or don't have one, borrow a bike helmet from a kid who has to go to bed and wear it, because we are going to take a picture of us with our bike helmets on watching Sully. Sully Dunn has been in this community since he was a small child, and he wore his bike helmet 24/7 for 10 years or something like that he was here. So he is now a young adult. He is a college-age young adult, and he's awesome, and we love him, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So that's all. Thank you very much.
From Andrew Pakula. In sightless night, terrors draw near. Nameless fears of talon and tooth. Hopelessness yawns before us, an abyss. Alone and unknown in the gloom, longing for the dawn. O sacred flame, blaze forth, wisdom brought to life. Guide us with the light of hope, the warmth of love, the beacon of purpose and meaning. Because we are all afraid of the dark, let there be light.
Good evening. I wanted to introduce myself before I get started. I'm Mary Gregolia, and I have the great pleasure of serving the Oberlin Fellowship and also serving as interim minister at the North Olmsted congregation. I would invite you to join in singing our first song, if I could have the words up there. Thank you. And so I'm going to sing this for you first. And I'll sing the first line, and then if you'd sing that with me, that would be great. As far as we can discern, 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 the sole purpose, the sole purpose of human existence, the sole purpose, the sole purpose of human existence, is to kindle a light, to kindle a light, to kindle a light in the darkness of mere being, is to kindle a light, to kindle a light, to kindle a light in the darkness. The darkness of mere being. Please rise in body or spirit, and let's sing through it twice. As far as we can discern, as far as we can discern, the sole purpose, the sole purpose of human existence is to kindle a light, to kindle a light, to kindle a light in the darkness of mere being. As far as we can discern, our theme tonight is going to the places that scare us. We hear over and over again that Summer Institute changes lives. But how does that work? This time away from home, allows us to step outside of our normal lives. And the structure of SI allows us to live in intentional community with shared UU values and a UU vision of the world dreaming itself through us. It allows us to put a different self forward, that which is trying to emerge, trying to evolve within us and between us and among us. The darkness of mere being isn't only outside of us, but is that deadened state inside where we cling desperately to outmoded or just plain off-base assumptions and beliefs and fears and behaviors about ourselves and the world. This shift empowers us to kindle that light, to be that light, to bring light, to bring awareness and the power of choice to our lives, our fears, our inner and outer dramas, and to our self-conceptions. But it can be scary to let go, even of fears and dramas that we're so tired of. And so all of us resist those changes. And yet the mystery is that when we turn to face our fears, we see that they are very ephemeral, that they are not made of concrete, but they're always changing. When we sit with a narrow sense of self or a narrow sense of each other, we see that it too is an illusion, blocking the expansive, creative, playful, loving heart, which is our true nature. In ninth century Japan, there was a woman named Tejitsu, who was the abbess of a Buddhist monastery. Her enlightenment was described this way. She saw that arising phenomena arose, abided, and fell away. She saw that knowing of it arose, abided, and fell away. Then she knew that there was nothing more than this. No ground, nothing to lean on, and no one leaning. She opened the clenched fist of her mind and let go and fell into the midst of everything. She opened the clenched fist of her mind and let go and fell into the midst of everything. Please join me in singing our opening song one more time. As far as we can discern, as far as we can discern, the sole purpose, the sole purpose of human existence is to kindle a light, to kindle a light, to kindle a light in the darkness of mere being. I'd like to share a dream series with you. I call it My Attacker, Myself. In the first dream, I'm in the back seat of a car. There is a violent, crazy-acting woman rushing toward the car. I get very frightened and wonder, how can I protect myself? I wake up in deep fear. In the next dream, I'm in the front seat of the car, in the passenger seat. I can see the attacker clearly. However, I'm not in control. As she rushes the car with murderous intent, my fear again awakens me. In the third dream, I'm in the driver's seat. As the attacker rushes the car, I lock all the doors. It does not stop her. I awake in panic. In the last dream, I'm again in the back seat. I see the violent woman in hysterics, rushing toward the car for help. I open the door. I reach for her as she climbs in and onto my lap. She becomes a baby. I hold her to my chest. She quiets. I wake up peaceful, whole. If we could see the words for the second song. The next one would be good. The next second song. Well, I'll tell you about the second song. It comes from a Navajo proverb, and it goes like this. I follow the scent of falling rain and head for the place where it's darkest. I follow the lightning and draw near to the place where it strikes. I follow the scent of falling rain and head for the place where it's darkest. I follow the lightning and draw near to the place where it strikes. I follow the scent of falling rain and head for the place where it's darkest. I follow the lightning and draw near to the place where it strikes. I follow the scent of falling rain and head for the place where it's darkest. I follow the lightning and draw near to the place where it strikes. I follow the scent of falling rain and head for the place where it's darkest. I follow the lightning and draw near to the place where it strikes. I am not an advocate of recklessness in the face of Mother Nature. I am more afraid of lightning than anyone I know. I'm also afraid of computers. Hold on, thank you. And of lion as well. Where are we here? I know we are here somewhere. Here we are. Here we are. Okay. When I heard this proverb, when I heard the words to this Navajo proverb, I knew I had to sing these words. I knew I had to internalize these words. I knew that they raise live questions in me, questions that felt like living lightning bolts. How do we run away from our own power? How do we run away from our calling? How do we play it safe, keeping ourselves in narrow lives? Something in us, the creative life spark itself, that force of nature, draws us like lightning. What scares us and paradoxically calls us? I have another dream that I'd like to share. When I was a very young child, before I could talk, I had a recurring dream. I had this dream every night. I am running through a city. Someone or something is chasing me. The sky is lit by explosions. I am running for my life. I know if I reach a certain apartment over a certain storefront, I will be safe. I turn the corner, find the door, start running up uneven stone steps. I'm halfway up. My pursuer reaches the doorway. I'm shot in the back, and I die before reaching the top. I died in my dream, day in or night in and night out. I forgot about this dream until I was 16, living in a foreign city. And one day I was invited to a classmate's house for dinner in a neighborhood I'd never explored. As I approached her street, all those little hairs on the back of my neck started to stand straight up, and I was filled with that sense of déjà vu. Hers was the door. There were the uneven stone steps. The long-forgotten dream came rushing back. Over the years, I've noticed that whenever I'm doing too much, whenever stress gets too high, whenever I say yes when I should say no, that dream gunshot wound in my back seizes up. As I've gotten older, I've wondered how I might unlock its meaning and release the pattern. And so I went on retreat a few months ago, and I was given an assignment to write a fairy tale about a princess, a warrior, and a dragon. It was an easy template for my recurring dream. I am clearly the warrior, running toward the princess for safety, fleeing a dragon. The next step was to tell the dream from the perspective of the other characters. Now, I assumed that I would retell this dream twice, once in the voice of the princess and once in the voice of the dragon. But I was wrong. I am the princess. I am furious at being confined to an upper room, or at the hubris of those who think I can be confined. I am everywhere. I drive the streets of the city, bringing art to children of all ages. I see my beloved warrior, who's afraid for no reason and running away. I'm following him, trying to get his attention, to remind him that I'm always with him. He starts up a narrow staircase. I open my boundless heart and extend a beam of energy at him. And he is totally transformed. My back is feeling much better. And now we will enjoy some music, Ashokan's Farewell from the Folk Orchestra.
Thank you.
So Mary and I were talking about this service, and I related a story to her, and she said, could you please come up and say something about that? And it wasn't until just now when she started talking that I thought about it some more and saw it kind of woven into her overall evening. So I didn't know Sharon was going to, or at least I must have forgotten Sharon was going to tell you I'm willing to spend a whole evening rolling pennies. But if we keep going with the silly stories that we know about ourselves, we don't usually share with other people. When I was young, one of the favorite people in my life was my mother's godmother, Edna. And I just remember being this big and always waiting for Edna at the door because I knew that when she came in, her way of saying hello was to reach around as she hugged me and nibble on my ear. I thought that was so great. Nobody nibbled my ear but Edna. Anyhow, make of that what you will. Anyhow, the thing with Edna that I also remember was that she herself had this recurring dream sequence thing that she lived in reality. She was terrified as Mary Gregolia, of thunderstorms and lightning. And well into her 80s, as long as I knew the woman, when a thunderstorm happened, she did not run merely for the safety of her home or of her bedroom, but she actually got under her bed during thunderstorms, so frightened. And she never got over that. And if there was one thing when she died I wished I could have willed to her, it was that last being held in the back seat of the car like a baby and being given the gift of overcoming that fear that I knew she never really named herself even. And it would have been good to have given her my own fascination, actually, with thunderstorms. Quite the opposite. I have to keep myself. Mary says, I don't actually wish for anybody that they get just reckless, but I could probably keep on gardening out in the garden as the thunder peals overhead and just let it keep going if it weren't for Sharon, I think, sometimes. And my son just wrote to me a happy Father's Day note from where he is elsewhere on the planet last month. And in it, he reminded me of two things that he holds dear. One is being one of my assistants on gutting our cottage and rebuilding it. So it was thanks, Dad, for helping me learn how to build. But the other one was thanks for the thunderstorms. I remember the porch and being in your lap and holding a thunderstorm. And he has that same fascination I wished for Edna. So, anyways, I don't know. I wish for you too, whatever your own thunderstorm is, because maybe whatever your fear is as ephemeral as Mary's recurring dream.
Please rise in body or spirit and let's sing our closing song. And there it is. And if you don't know this, listen the first time through and then join on the second verse. It goes like this. Be a light unto my feet. Help me find my way. Be a light unto my feet. Help me find my way.
Help me find my way. Help me find my way. Help me find my way. Help me find my way. Help me find my way. Let's do the second verse. When my eyes are full of tears, help me find my way. When my eyes are full of tears, help me find my way. 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 When a rage has filled my mind, help me find my way. Myself, help me find my way. When I may not trust myself, help me find my way. Help me find my way. Help me find my way. Help me find my way.
Mary is perhaps too humble in her introduction of herself. For those who may not be familiar with her publications, Mary is also one of this denomination's foremost writers of song and leaders of music. This from Rumi. There is a candle in your heart, ready to be kindled. There is a void in your soul, ready to be filled. You feel it, don't you? Forget safety. Live where you fear to live.